3 as we go through our look at Colossians. Today's message is titled, Christ Who Is Our Life. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11. We won't waste any time. We're just going to jump in there and we're going to read it. If I could have everybody stand up for a minute that feels like they can stand. If you can't stand, I understand. That's fine. But if you can, let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word this morning. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read this word today, we accept that this word is for us today in this place. And so, Lord, speak to us. Lord, guide our steps. Lord, help us to be connected with You, following You. And Lord, I know it's a journey. I know it's going to have ups and downs. I know sometimes we are even going to fail. But Lord, You never do. And so, Lord, we look to You today and we pray that no matter how many times we may fall down, that we'll get back up, we'll dust ourselves off, we'll let You bless us to get back on that path that leads to life, and that we will trust that You are the one who can help us finish this race with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all have a seat. We're going to break this down just a little bit. Christ, who is our life. I can tell you, whenever I'm looking at that area of Scripture, there's a lot of things I can think of. There's a lot of things I can think of. I can think about the second coming of Christ, right? When Christ, who is our life, appears. Man, I can't wait for Him to appear again. Amen? One day I was driving down the road. It was on a road that faced east and west. And I saw this reflection in a road sign. And man, I mean, it made the road sign look blazing red. And it was the sun. It was the sun rising. And it was shining off of that road sign. And it kind of blinded me for a second. And I am not joking with you. I thought, is this the time? Is Jesus returning right now? Would that not be an awesome moment? I actually pulled my truck over for just a second, just to be able to turn and look to see. And I'm sure I'm not going to miss it. It's not something any of us is going to miss. But what I want you to know is, guys, you need to be expecting it every day. And you know, that was a really good moment for me. Because I can tell you, if you'd have talked about Jesus returning a little earlier in my life, I'd have been saying, oh no, I hope not today. Because guys, I wasn't ready. But here's the thing, if Christ is your life, you'll be looking forward to it. And I can tell you, I'm not looking forward to it today because I think I'm perfect enough to go to heaven, because I know that ain't the case. What I do know is, if He's my life, if He's the reason why I live, then I can know for sure that's where I'm heading when He comes. So guys, I want you to know that. This whole area of Scripture here, verse 1 starts off with an important word. This is a very important word. When you see that little two-letter word in the Bible or in anything you're reading, you always want to make real sure that you pay close attention to the if, because the if is a hinging point. Okay? The if is going to have a then. And you need it. The if is suggesting that there's different positions that you can have in this statement. This little two-letter word has some big implications in the Bible. And in this area of the Bible, rather than just thinking about His second coming, rather than just talking about His second coming, although that is my hope, what I want to concentrate on today is that little word, if. Because I think that it's really a word that we need to make sure that we understand the implications of and see which side of that hinging word that we are on. Just like a hinge on a door, many things hinge on this if. And so in this particular scripture, if then you were raised with Christ. That's the if. That's the hinge. And so, you know, you can testify if you want this morning. If you really feel like it, you can say it out loud. Or maybe you're not sure and you need to think about it a little more. Or maybe you're just that really private person that you never say anything. But I want you to know, guys, where you are with that if is a huge, huge question. And that's a question I want you to take personally this morning. Have you been raised with Christ? Because if you've been raised with Christ, and we're going to break that down just a little bit more, because that may sound foreign to you. You think, how could I have been raised with Christ? I haven't died yet. Well, no, it may be true that your body hasn't died yet. That's why you're here. There is a part of you that needs to die so that you can be raised. And so we're going to talk about that just a little bit more, because that's what's hinging on that if. Okay? If you have been raised with Christ, it's going to have some implications. Okay? And that's what the scripture here is talking about. Then you, and I just want you to understand, it doesn't mean you immediately become perfect in all these areas, okay? Because a lot of times we get hung up on that. If I'm not perfect in all these areas, then maybe I'm not raised with Christ. Or if I'm not perfect in all these areas, why should I try at any of them? You see? There's a lot of implications to this. Because I get a lot of discussions with different people, both in Christianity and outside of Christianity, that would say, if I can't be perfect, then I'm just not even going to try at all. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, if you've been raised with Christ, you will try. You will have the Spirit that will make you not be able to live in the old life anymore without dealing with the problems that you see. So this is where we're at. If you have been raised with Christ, then you increasingly will seek heavenly things. I can tell you, before I got saved, that's just kind of the church term for being raised with Christ. Before I gave my heart to Jesus, before the Holy Spirit came to live in me, I could not care less about heavenly things except for the fact that I didn't want to go to hell. That was the one thing I cared about. Do I get an amen? If anybody was to tell you, man, there's a place of absolute destruction where you're going to burn forever, where you're going to suffer forever, there's never going to be an end to it. How many people would say, yeah, that's where I want to go? Hopefully I won't have a taker in the place, right? I mean, most people are going to say no to that. I don't want to go there. So therefore, because of the terror of the Lord, knowing that that is the just punishment for people who will not make right with God, take His free gift of salvation. If you won't, that's where you're going to end up. So most people would say, yeah, I'm going to be in heaven, because we don't want to think we're going to be there. But guys, there's only one way to get there. It's by surrendering yourself, your life, your all, your flesh to Christ. And some of us think that repenting of our sins just means, man, I'm really sorry I'm a sinner, but I'm going to keep doing it. That's not repentance. Repentance is whenever I say, man, I am really sorry that I'm a sinner. God, help me to go in a different direction with You. To go in the opposite direction away from that sin. And whenever you have truly said that in your heart and you truly believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that He is the one, He's the only one, and you turn your life over to Him, I'm just going to tell you, an automatic thing that's going to begin to happen in you is you're going to be more interested in heavenly things. Heavenly things are like a whole separate category than worldly things. And what happens a lot of times is we try to mix the two and make the worldly things look more heavenly. And there's a whole segment of society that don't want to have to go through Jesus and die to get to heaven. They're wanting to make the earth like a utopia. Bad plan. You can't make the earth be a utopia at this point, because it's not through human means that we're able to do that. What we need to do is get more concentrated on heavenly things, and then as we are living for heavenly things, and you all are living for heavenly things, then what we begin to see is God's will being done through us. And guess what that'll do? It will make the earth a better place. The more people that are thinking about heavenly things and living for heavenly things, the better things are going to get. But you always got to remember, we're not going to get to see heaven really until Jesus comes back. So don't try to think that somehow in your own human strength you're going to make this heaven on earth. It's not going to happen. But we do need to be mindful of the heavenly things, seeking them. So what kind of heavenly things? Let's get some examples here. What kind of heavenly things can you seek right now? Go ahead, just say them. God's word? Love. Love is something that comes, I mean, true love, not just this whole worldly thing of love, okay? You got to be careful because that's one of those words that's floating around out there. Let's nail it down with a biblical understanding of love. Wow, selfless love. That's good. That's heavenly stuff. Anything else? Fellowship with Jesus? Peace? All right? Worship? Yeah. It's like a little taste of heaven when we get together and worship, right? Heavenly things. Compassion for others. That's kind of part of that selfless love, amen? Isn't that awesome? That's a heavenly thing. How about the fruit of the Spirit? Can anybody name off to me? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Guys, I'm going to tell you, whenever you start getting in that realm, what you're doing is you're starting to track with God. Because that's God showing those things through you. Those are heavenly things. You'll begin to seek after those. You're going to want those. That's what seeking means, looking for them. All right? Second one. If you are raised with Christ, remember we're dealing with that if, you will die to fleshly, earthly pursuits. Do I get an amen? I'm going to tell you, there was one point in my life I wouldn't have minded being a millionaire. Now I only wish I could be a millionaire so I could give it away. I don't really want it. I'm afraid it would poison my soul just to have a whole bunch of money just to spend on me. You know, people that win big bunches of money, you know, of course we all know about the lottery. Most of their lives are completely devastated afterwards because they begin to become selfish with the money. I can tell you, you're tested whenever you get things that are earthly pursuits. You know, fame and fortune and all that stuff. And I can show you lots of people who start off on a good track and they let those things get a hold of them. And man, they go in a bad direction from there. But if you are raised with Christ, die to that fleshly stuff and live for Christ. Just live for Christ. How about if you're raised with Christ, you increasingly have your life hidden in Christ. You'll be happy when somebody forgets that you gave them a piece of advice and they remember it that God showed them. You'll go, yeah! That's a win. Because guys, if they see us, that ain't going to save anybody. But if they see Christ, that's what saves them. All right? He's the one who can do that. Then you increasingly depend on Jesus as life. You know what? God will test us on this too. He will. He tests every one of his children in some way, shape, or form. Sometimes we don't get to have everything we think we need to be able to live. And he begins to take it away to let us see if he really is everything to us. You see, here's the deal. If Christ is your life, then you can live without X. You can live without Z. You can live without A. Whatever those letters represent your life. You know? It could be that significant person in your life, that relationship you think you thought you couldn't do without, but as long as I got Christ, I'll make it. It could be food. You know, that's what fasting is about. Sometimes you do without something to see that actually God is enough. Okay? You can voluntarily do that. Sometimes we have to go through that for other reasons, medical reasons sometimes. Maybe it's a sickness that comes into your life and you're afraid it's going to take your life, but you realize, guess what? Jesus really is enough. Some, it may be a loss of freedom. Right? could be a prison. And you may not even have done anything wrong to get there. That happens with martyrs all the time. That even happens in our society sometimes. But here's the thing, you will depend on Jesus as your life. Okay? And then, because of all that, another thing that's going to increasingly happen in your life is abolishing sinful activities. We'll go ahead and go through a list of those activities because the Scripture does. If Christ is your life, then, best part is, you will appear with Him in glory. When He comes back, you're going to be with Him. Isn't that going to be awesome? We all want that one. That's awesome. That's what we're looking forward to. If Christ is your life, then you will put to death. You see, something's got to die to have a new birth. And here's the things that's got to die. Fornication. What is fornication? It's any sex outside of marriage, any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage. Okay? That includes pornography. That includes extra affairs with people. That includes living together before marriage in sexual relationships. That includes anything that's unholy, right? Homosexuality, the whole big gambit of things. Any kind of sexual activity that's unholy in God's sight and goes against the Scriptures, fornication. Okay? Uncleanness. Just living in that state of sin. Passion. These fleshly passions. Evil desire. Covetousness. Wanting what the other person has. Guys, be satisfied with what God wants you to have. That's what He's saying. You got to put those types of ideas to death. And it's going to be a lifelong process of that. You know, God saves some people and takes them the next day or takes them the same day. But others, He leaves us here for a while. And as long as we're here, we got to keep doing battle against these things because they're going to keep cropping up. And all of these things put together, really there's one main word for it. It's called idolatry. It's having anything that raises up as an idol in our life that we would put all of our attention on instead of God. Okay? Anything that competes. It can be a good thing. My children, who I just praise God for, cannot be an idol in my life. Making my wife happy cannot be an idol in my life. You see, Jesus is the only one who deserves my worship. God, the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The only thing that deserves my worship in this world, they are the only ones. If Christ is your life, guys, all of that is going to begin to fall more into place. Why? Because we have to put off the old man with his ways. It says, flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God, guys. It's only the Spirit that can. The Bible says that. So we got to put off the old man in his ways. You wouldn't have liked the old John very much. You may say, well, I'm not real thrilled about you right now anyways, but I don't know. I'm hoping that you like me. But here's the deal, guys. I know you wouldn't have liked the old John much. You see, something happened the night that Christ moved in. Something happened the night that I gave my life to Him. He didn't make me perfect, but He's in the process of making me perfect. You see, I'm working toward it. And the real fulfillment's going to come the day I step into glory with Him. I'm looking forward to that day, but I want you to know I'm working toward it now. We need to be working toward it together, putting to death the old man. And then we put on the new man. That's what it's talking about there in the Scripture. Let's put on the new man, renewed in the knowledge of the image of Christ. Because you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit and He lives in you from the point that you give your life fully to Him. That's what we need. You see, we talk about baptism, and that's a really good thing that we do here. But this pool is not what makes you holy. It's going to be your relationship with God that is representative of the real baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, if I were to ask you today, do you have a relationship with Christ? And you go, well, 40 years ago I made a profession of faith and I got baptized in a church and I kind of remembered. I'm pretty sure I do. No! I want you to be able to tell me what's happening in your heart today. Because you see, He needs to be your life. And a lot of us want Him to be the icing on the cake. Okay? A lot of us just want Him to give us what we want. That's not a relationship with Christ. A relationship with Christ is whenever you're in it for Him. And I can tell you, we won't do it perfectly. But we need to be increasing in it every day. And putting to death the stuff of the old man and anything that used to crop up from that old man, when we see it again, we need to say no to that. We need to say yes to Christ. And I can tell you, you can't do it on your own. You really need the Holy Spirit living in you. Do I get an amen? And we need to be making room for Him. And we need to be getting out of the way so He can shine is what we really need to do. And whenever you start seeing the old man coming up, because sometimes the old man tries to step back in, and he begins to be the one to block the ability for the Holy Spirit to shine through us. And I can tell you, the Holy Spirit's not real forceful. He won't just body slam you on the ground to get the old man out of the way most of the time. The Holy Spirit's real quiet. And He'll say, John, you shouldn't do that. John, you really need to apologize for that. John, you know I didn't shine very much when you did that. When you hear that still small voice, guys, yield to Him. That is Christ being your life at that point. You are turning your life over to Him. You're not going to let the old man control you anymore. You're going to let the new man control you. And when the new man controls you, I can tell you, it don't always make the enemy happy. He comes in with a vengeance sometimes. Old Satan and all of his demonic activity. Sometimes a person gives their life to Christ, they start living by the new man, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose around them. It happens. Do not get discouraged, because you see, if Christ is your life, and not all that other stuff, you'll understand, I got to keep living for Him. I'm not going to let that dissuade me, and I'm not going to let that change my path. I'm not going to let that change my direction. Because guys, I remember when Jesus got a hold of me, and I know He's my everything. He will help me finish this. That's why. Because we got to put off the old man and have the new man. In fact, Jesus had a specific term for this. It's called being born again. Being born again. You know, I was talking to some people the other day, talking about Christianity, and they said, we don't know when this whole new thing came in about being born again. It seems like everybody's all about being born again. Guys, this ain't a new thing. Jesus said this. Okay? And He said it to a religious man who thought that he pretty much had everything till he met Jesus, and then he went, hey, wait a minute. There must be more. So he went to Jesus in the middle of the night. His name was Nicodemus. And he started asking Him some questions about how He was doing the things He was doing, because He had to be from God. But it was rocking their world. Okay? And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, can't even wish for those heavenly things. Can't even understand those heavenly things. Don't even desire those heavenly things. But as we are born again, all of a sudden, it whets our appetite and we want more, because guess what? All of a sudden, Jesus is your life. So there's only one kind of true Christian in this deal, guys. It's a born again Christian. You can't be a Christian unless you're really born again. There's only one kind of Christian. It's a born again Christian. Have you been born again? You can testify if you like. Have you been born again? If you're not sure, You probably should do something about it. You say, what can I do about it? I'd get down on my knees before God and I'd beg Him to show me. If you're not sure, you need to ask God, am I really born again? And if I'm not, I want to be. I want to turn my life over to You today, Jesus. And you know, some would say, well, if I'm already saved, then I shouldn't do that. But I'll tell you what, guys, I do it every morning. I do it every new day. I say, thank You for this life, oh God, and I want to live for You today. And I'll tell you, some would call it rededication, and that's what I call it in my life. But if you're not sure, and it needs to be salvation, guess what? It's the exact same steps either way. It's just committing your life to Jesus and saying, I want to live for You and not for me. I want to die to the old me and live for the new one who lives in me. I want to be a new man, not just a better man. I want to be Your man. I want You to be my life. Is Christ your life? Because if he's not, the if's not for you. If he is, then the if is for you. All these promises are for you if you are in Christ. But I want you to know for sure. Do you know that you have it? Well, I can tell you one way you'll see. Jesus said you'll be able to tell by the fruit. Okay, guys, here's the deal. I've picked a few apples in my day, but I've never picked an apple from a peach tree. I picked even a few peaches, and I've never picked it from an apple tree. You ever see a hedge apple? There's a lot of talk about hedge apples, you know, and they got healing properties and all this stuff. I'll tell you this little story. Whenever I was young, I used to work on this farm, and I worked 7 days a week back then. It was before I was saved. I was just a workaholic. If it was daylight, I was working somewhere. I wasn't home, and it was really kind of a bad way for me to live, and I get that now. But I had driven up this trail, and I'd watched this tree off in the distance get this fruit on it. And man, it was a long ways off, okay? But I could see this fruit. This fruit was green, and then eventually it turned a little more yellow. And I thought the entire time that those were apples. And I thought those were the hugest apples I'd ever seen in my life. And whenever I would drive past that in the morning, right about daylight, I would think, man, I can't wait for those apples to be ripe. I'm going to go pick me some apples off that tree. And then whenever we'd leave at night, right before dark, I'd look over there at the distance and I'd say, man, they're looking better. They're looking more like they're going to be ripe one of these days. Until one day I finally went over to that tree. And I thought I was going to find me some ripe apples on the ground. I couldn't wait, and it turned out to be a hedge apple tree. You're talking about disappointment. But you see, I wasn't going to pick an apple off of that tree. You know why? Because it wasn't an apple tree. I was young. I didn't have a clue. I learned something from that. But here's the deal, guys. A lot of people are wanting Christian fruit to grow on them without actually belonging to Jesus and living to their old life. It ain't going to happen. We need to make sure that we have given our life to Christ, and then we become a new tree, one that good fruit can grow on. A lot of people give up and they say, there's no hope in this deal. If you're only trying to do it for yourself, if you're only trying to get his blessing, you're going to get discouraged. What you need to do is become his, and he'll help you finish. Okay? And I can tell you the blessings you receive are beyond anything I could tell you about, because they're heavenly blessings. But look at what it says. You will know them by their fruits. This is talking about false prophets, but it's also talking about just Christians in general. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Ye must be born again. Guys, that don't mean if you belong to a church, you're born again. It means if you belong to Christ, the old man is dying, you're born again. And then you need to belong to a good church. But let's make sure we don't get the cart before the horse. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Guys, I want you to know that when Christ appears, you will appear with him in glory. I want you to know that. Because later on in Matthew, he talks about not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But only those ones who do the will of my Father in heaven. He wants us to belong to him. That's his will. Turn your life over to Christ today. If you already are, then sing hallelujah with this last song. You just be pleased that you belong to the number who will be in heaven. And know that God has a work for you here. You didn't get saved just for you. He saved you so that you can help carry the message of salvation to others and minister in his name. Die to that old man every day. He's going to try to come back. Has your old man ever tried to come back? Do I get a testifying on that? Anybody want to say amen to that? Yeah, he's selfish and he's a liar. You just need to tell him to go on. Because you got a new one that is your life. His name is Jesus. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, I pray that every one of us can know for sure where we belong in this situation. Do we really belong to Christ? If not, I pray we'll look at the fruit. We'll be able to see the fruit. That don't mean that we'll be perfect, but what it means is we desire to live for you. We desire to see the old man completely pass away. We desire to see the new man living through us. Lord, if we continue to see patterns of sin in our life that we just do not have victory over, then what we need to do is make sure we've surrendered it all to you. You're the only one who can really gain the victory in our lives. And here's that one last question. Is Christ really my life? Are you what makes me breathe? Are you what makes me get up in the morning? Are you the one that I live for? God, I pray the answer is yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anything you need to pray about? Don't be afraid to come forward.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and unto glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joy immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Just a couple minutes here. First of all, I want to encourage you with the last word to the sermon, kind of a last thing to tie it all together. Two main points. First one is, if you go to Him, He will not cast you away. He promised so. Do I get to praise the Lord? There is nobody who He will not save who comes to Him in faith and asks. I love that part. And here's my second thing. If there's something in your life that you have continued to struggle with and you've surrendered it to Him more than once, I've had people say, well, I've already surrendered that to God. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Surrender it to Him again. Because sooner or later, He's going to give you victory, guys. He will. He promises. He is strong enough. He is able. He is your mighty defender. He is your rock. And He is your power if He is your life. You keep surrendering it to Him till He gives you victory and freedom over that. You just need to admit with Him it is wrong. That's called confession. And you ask Him for help. You keep surrendering it to Him. And I want you to know, He will win the victory for you in that. Now, He's going to call you to walk with Him. He's going to call for some effort out of that too. But He will give you the strength for that effort, and He will give you the victory. We've got somebody that came forward today. Come on up here, Abby.